I'll tell you for starters a quick introduction before we get there. Being that we say Harachim on Yakim Lanu, Sukkah's Davar HaNofal, is exactly what Sukkah is referring to is not so clear, but many suggestions are based on Mikdash, even though it's referred to Sukkah as David, and David did build, Shlomo did, it was already in David's, under his auspices that we started moving in that direction. More than that, the Simcha, this is where the Pasuk defines it, Smachtam of Nesha Mekechem Shivas Yamim, the lifting of the lulav 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Haftorah today certainly links Sukkot to Eretz Yisrael, specifically Yerushalayim, in a very strong way. That having been said, I decided to choose a topic which spoke to me very much, the one that I enjoyed very much, and the question is, what has changed from 1947 to 1949? What has the Medina done for us? What changes halachically? And the truth is, now after the recent events, it may be worthwhile to discuss it anyway, to reaffirm what we believe. The truth is, the first time I ever gave this shiur, I gave it to a Mexican group. We had a Talmud in HaKotel who came from Mexico, tried 7 or 8 yeshivas, and somehow came into HaKotel. We call him Chaim the Mexican. Only any of us know his last name. And he went back to Mexico, and he was a Baal Tshuva before we had met him, from a Haredi Kola. He lived in Eretz Yisrael for some time, and then and made his way into HaKotel somehow. And he came back with strong Zionistic ideas. So it was a Sephardi Haredi Kola in Mexico, and they started to ask him questions and grilling him and Zionism and whatnot. So he asked me to give him a shir. So I found myself in a peculiar situation. They asked me to give this shir to this random Mexican Sephardi. I don't speak Spanish. I don't, you know, it's a Sephardi Mexican Kola. I don't know anything about it. But there was a great challenge for me, because I said to myself, I would love to try my best to figure out if I can articulate clearly in a strong way what I believe Medina Yisrael has brought to Klal Yisrael, especially, I don't want to talk about whether or not you say Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. That's not my discussion. If we'll talk about that Yom Ha'atzmaut time. That's like losing the overwhelming majority of what Yom Ha'atzmaut is in terms of, you know, just a small element of the Halal. It's like thinking of Pesach as nothing more than a kezais. Pretend there was no mitzvah of Halal ever. Still, Yom Ha'atzmaut would have significance. And the question is, I guess what? So I want to share with you three specific points. Three specific major hashkafic, not really hashkafic, more halachic changes that I believe occurred that are found in the Mar Makomos. Here, we'll take some and pass them out. Just take some and send them around. I'm going to share with you three specific things that I believe Medinat Yisrael has revolutionized in terms of halachic practical differences above and beyond Yom Ha'atzmaut and Halel and whatnot. And I'll start off where I guess most Shiur and Ben-Eretz start off is this surprising opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam, when he lists his 613 mitzvos, he leaves out the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. Yish of Eretz Yisrael is not one of his Tayyig mitzvahs. Out of, just to make sure we're on the same page. And, you know. Anyone know, by the way, the name of the Sefer the Rambam has that we list 630 mitzvos? Sefer HaMitzvah. That's very basic. But the Rambam is Sefer HaMitzvos, does not list the 600. In the 630 mitzvos, does not list this. And the Ramban there has a Hasaga, a whole list in the back. Right afterwards, he lists a whole list of things that, so to speak, the Rambam, quote-unquote, forgot. Mitzvah sasei shashacha harav. All the mitzvahs that the Rambam, quote-unquote, forgot. And in the fourth one, the Ramban says, it's shocking to me, the Rambam must have left this out, you know, must have forgotten it, the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. I'll take a look at source number one. Says the Ramban, mitzvah revius, shenitztavu l'reshes ha'aretz asher nasan hakel yizbarach v'yisal alav v'zeram v'yisal Yaakov, v'lo na'azva b'yad zulaseinu min ha'umo so l'shmama, we should inhabit this land, dwell here, and not just leave it to other nations. Says the Ramban, there's a mitzvah saseh from the Torah. One of the Tariq mitzvahs, one of the 630 mitzvahs, is to inhabit, to dwell, to develop the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if I ask you right away, is there one of the Tidy Mitzvahs, is one of them to live and dwell and develop Eretz Yisrael? The answer would be very simply, a machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban clearly believes the answer is yes, like we just saw. The Rambam does not count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, and therefore the question becomes, why not? Why is it not one of the 613 mitzvahs? And to that there are, if I go through properly, you probably come across 15, 18 different answers, numerous answers, everything from A to Z. A million and one answers as to why not, but probably the most famous two are the ones we'll start out with. If the Megillas Esther writes, the Megillas Esther has nothing to do with the holiday of Purim. It's written by one of the Chachmei HaTosfos. If I'm not mistaken, it's what Rabbeinu, the Megillas Esther wrote the book and named it, sorry about that. He names it after his mother. I think it's the Re-de-Leon or something like that. It's the Re-de-Leon. And his mother just died, so he decided his mother's name was Esther. He's going to name the same thing for his mother. And he called it the Megillas Esther. And in it, he defends the Rambam against all the Ramban's attacks. And he writes very simply, take a look at Mitzvah Dalet. Niroyale, it seems to me, Kiloma Shemana Harav, who, the Rambam didn't count it, why? Lefisha Mitzvah Yerusha Sa'aretz V'yeshiva Sa'al Lo Nehege Rakbi Me Moshe V'yeshua V'David V'chol Zman Shalo Golo Me'artzam Aval Acha Shegolo Me'alad Masam Eid Mitzvah Nuhag L'doros Ad Eis Bo HaMashiach. The Rambam, as I'm sure you're aware, before he even starts his 613 mitzvahs, before he starts to count his list, he has 14 shorashim, which surprisingly, this small little introduction takes about 70 or 80% of the book. He has an incredibly long introduction where he tells you the 14 different rules. This way you know how to count and how not. And one of them is, if it's a mitzvah, that's not no heges l'doros. It applies to certain generations and others not. Do not count it. For example, when they opened up the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, they had what's called the Shivas Yimei HaMiluin. 7 days of inaugurational, ceremonious things that they did. That's not one of the mitzvahs because you can't do it today. It's totally not shaykh. It's called the mitzvah she'ein noheges l'doros. So it says the Megillas Esther, the Rambam probably thinks the mitzvah Eretz Yisrael falls under that category. It does not apply today. It gives you three generations what it does apply. What are they? Moshe, Yeshua, and David, and then Mashiach. Interesting that he mentions Moshe because Moshe didn't make it there. And it's interesting, he stops with David because there's nothing about Bayis Sheni, which is a whole other topic. He has mentioned Shlomo, who's the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. Apparently it's not connected to that. We'll have to, in any event, but when Mashiach comes, we will return back to Eretz Yisrael, and there will be a mitzvah again, and that's why the Rambam doesn't mention this at all, says the Megillas Esther. The Avnei Nezer, source number 3, disagrees very strongly. He lists numerous kashyas, writes the Rambam, believes halacha l'maisa today. If an Eved wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, he can force his Adon, his master, to come along with him. That's even Bisman Hazeh. I think the Rambam doesn't value Eretz Yisrael. It must because Eretz Yisrael has some inherent value. He has a whole bunch of different proofs, and he writes lehalacha, I put it in bold, al karcha, lo nimna. The Rambam doesn't count it. Hacharem tachamim v'shimas Eretz Yisrael l'shtayim. Says the Avnei Nezer. There are two separate mitzvos that the Rambam counts under one umbrella category. One is the mitzvah of destroying the seven nations, and one is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Where does that come from? Those two are connected so inherently that there are 612 other mitzvahs besides them. They count as one mitzvah together. After all, why do you kill the seven nations? Is it just so they should be dead? The answer is no, it's in order to have the land for ourselves afterward. So says the Avnei Nezer, this is exactly the opinion of the Rambam. Of course the Rambam believes it's a mitzvah, and Shaykh Bisman Hazeh, it's a mitzvah we should do. It's just not counted separately because it falls under the category of killing the seven nations, which is not, therefore it's not a separate mitzvah. He even writes, the Avnei Nezer takes it one step further. He writes, this is a classic stylistic machlokes, because the Rambam, when he counts the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash, he counts the mitzvah of the Kelim as well. And the Beis HaMikdash all is one mitzvah. The Ramban counts them as two. What's the reason why you have a Beis HaMikdash? Argues the Avnei Nezer, to house the Kalim. The Ramban counts it as two. The Rambam counts it as one. Again, what's the reason why you have the Beis HaMikdash? To house the Kalim. What's the reason why you kill the seven nations? To have Eretz Yisrael. Says the Avnei Nezer, both situations Ramban counts it as two, which gives you the four. And the Rambam, each one has it as one, totaling two. One here and one there. And therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, there's no fundamental machlokes in halacha, in hashkaf, in anything. It's a very simple machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not you count them as one or two mitzvos. It's a technical machlokes. And the Avnei Nezer then says, and here's what gets important, the Avnei Nezer then says, therefore, halacha lemaisa, there is a mitzvah to move to Eretz Yisrael, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's not an obligatory mitzvah. It's what's called a mitzvah kiyumis. You're mekayim a mitzvah, it certainly is a mitzvah, but it's not an obligatory mitzvah. If you don't make kiddush Friday night, you missed out on a mitzvah. You have an obligation to make kiddush. Everyone in this room has an obligation to make kiddush. Everyone in this room has an obligation to eat matzah. If you miss eating matzah, you missed something. It's not optional. There are certain mitzvahs that are optional, he argues, and one of them is making aliyah. And so claims the Avnei Nezer, that's Pshat in the Rambam, as well as Rav Moshe Feinstein, source number 6. I'm not going to read it inside, but quickly I'll read it. Fine. V'hinei rov ha-poskim savri duhu mitzvah, aval posha she'ein zo bizman hazeh mitzvah chayuvis sha'al haguf, if everyone had to make aliyah, then what? It'd be usher to live in. You're not allowed an option to opt out of making kiddush. You wouldn't be able to opt out of moving to Israel, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, halacha lemaisa. One is not obligated to move to Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, it's an important thing to do. There are others who disagree and believe it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, like saying kiddush. It's a mitzvah chiyuvis, like eating matzah. Rav Avram Shapiro, the former Rashiva from Merkaz Harav, Rav Zalman Chami Goldberg, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, all three of them recorded to believe it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. The nafkamina would be severalfold. Number one, can you choose not to live in Eretz Yisrael? According to the first approach, yeah, it'd be better if you do, but you don't have to. All else equal, you don't have to. And according to the second approach, seemingly you really have to go out of your way to do so. That'd be one potential nafkamina. Another potential nafkamina would be if, let's say, a parent say, come back to America. The truth is, there are posts who say, well, if it's an obligatory mitzvah, then you have to stay in Eretz Yisrael. If it's not an obligatory mitzvah, you can go back. But the truth is, it's probably not true anyway. Because the poskim, Rav Schechter, I heard from Lichtenstein, many poskim believe parents don't have the right to tell you where to live at all. They tell you to live in America, tell you to live in Israel, tell you to become a lawyer, become a doctor. It's wonderful to take their advice. It's important to hear what they have to say. People should be respectful. But, you know, you have to get your parents a glass of water, help them with heavy packages. That's a mitzvah kivud avim. If your parents want, they tell you, I want you to marry this guy, not that guy. I want you to only become a teacher and not a doctor. So halach l'maisa, that doesn't fall into kivud avim. Nonetheless, you gotta be careful. I have parents and kids in the room, but that's what it is. In any event, there seems to be a machlokes of mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah that's obligatory, or that's just a mitzvah kiyumis, a bonus, wonderful, certainly important. Clear? How are we doing so far? So far, so good? If anyone lost me along the way, just raise your hand, let me know. I'll repeat something, because the piece I'm going to get to, I think, is really where I'm building towards. If this is correct, one can ask, this is like a question they ask a lot of times in Gemara, what's behind this machlokes? It's a brisker type of question to ask. What's the svara? What's the conceptual difference that between these two sides, between these two opinions? What mindset led Rav Moshe Feinstein to say his approach, which was, of course, it's not obligatory, it's just a mitzvah chiyuvis? And what led Rav Avram Shapiro to disagree and say it's a mitzvah chiyuvis? What's the conceptual argument behind that? So one can suggest that perhaps there are two different ways of looking at the mitzvah of Aliyah, or Eretz Yisrael, or Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or whatever it is. One can say the mitzvah is for you to do it. You have to do it. Alternatively, one could say you have to make sure it gets done. Is it the action, the maisa, that you have to do? You have to, it's a mitzvah on you. Alternatively, you can say, yes, it's not a mitzvah on me, but I have to do it. Hashem doesn't is not asking for everyone to move to Israel. He's just making sure Israel gets developed properly. You hear the two different the differences? One potential nafkamina between this, what's called the chakira, and this chakira would be whether or not you have to go, or let's say you just want to send money. If you stay back and send money, perhaps you have fulfilled a mitzvah because the goal is not for you to go. Maybe the goal is just to have the land developed and built and cultivated, etc., etc. Many suggest, I think it's probably correct, if you look at Rav Moshe Feinstein, he believes the mitzvah is to have the land developed. After all, we'll go back to his Lashon for one more second, the bolded words are, She'ein zeh bizman hazeh mitzvah chiyuvis sha'al haguf. It's not that I have to do it with my body, but rather, what is it? I have to make sure it gets done. I have to make sure people move to the land of Israel. And according to Aram Shapiro, he disagrees and writes, no, the mitzvah is for you to go, just like for you to make kiddush. People follow this? How are we doing here, yeah? If this is correct, there are at least two different models of Isha Be'eretz Yisrael. One would be to go, you on the guf, the mitzvah is for you, on the gavra, the maisa, you have to do it. Alternatively, the mitzvah is to have it done, to have it developed, to make sure it occurs. There are those who actually claim that the Ramban has both models. If you look in source number 7, perhaps on Chumash, he indicates that, V'hurashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba ki lachem nasati es ha'aretz l'resh esosah al datizu mitzvah saseh yitzaveh usam sheyeshvu ba'aretz v'yirshu osah. What are those two things? Yeshvu ba'aretz v'yirshu osah ki hu nasnat lahem. Based upon this, the Tzitz Eliezer is one of the Haredi Gedolim, passed away, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago? 10? Something like that. Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, and he writes, not known for being a huge Talmud of Rav Kook, he's a classic Haredi Gadol, very well respected Haredi. Well, he writes very clearly, since 1948, since there has been Hakamas HaMedina, there are two additional chiyuvim for everyone. Number one is to, all the more so, to move to Israel if you can. And number two is to make sure nationally more Jews are moving there and make sure the ball is rolling and to make sure that things are moving in the right direction to make sure the land is being inhabited properly. And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa argues that Tzitz Eliezer, argument number one, if I had to ask you, what changed when we developed our own country, when we developed the Medina, now we have Medina Yisrael, argument number one is there's a greater mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We'll read the Tzitz Eliezer inside momentarily. There's a greater mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's more of a reason to go, more of an obligation to go. He falls into the Rav Moshe Feinstein category. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, but in terms of weighing it in, how important it is, I went from a 7 to an 8, a 9 to a 10, a 6 to a 7. I don't know exactly how to weigh these things in. Number one. And number two is nationally as well. There's more of a reason for us to develop it, for us to live there. As he says in source number 8, it kind of spins over to the next page. B'bchina zot shal ha-mitzvah ha-klalit chal chiyuv yoter le-mitzvot aliyah v'hityashvut me'achar kum ha-medina gamal kol yachid v'yachid m'Yisrael ha-nimtze b'golahu mitchalik l'shnayim haynu ha-chiyuv atzmo prati and chiyuv atzmi kol yav an individualistic as well as a national a klali chiyuv and both of those increase. And therefore, if you would ask me, what changed? The answer number one, the first thing that changed is the obligation to both. Move to Israel has grown, not, again, we've passed like promotion, finance, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, but it's elevated. All else equal, certainly you should go. Not everything else is equal, so you have to weigh in and weigh out your other areas in life. And number two is that nationally, the more we make it fitable, is that like, that's the Yiddish word I grew up with, is fitable a word? It is not in English. The more appropriate, the more available, the more, I don't know, fitable, that's the word we grew up with. The better the land is, the more comfortable it is, the better businesses, the better commerce is, the more, these are wonderful mitzvahs of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I was actually, over this past Yom Tov, there's a Talmud who's now he's doing very, very well. His name is Yitzi Kempinski. If you can Google him afterwards if you want. He lived in Hakotel 3 or 4 years. He's like, he's an unbelievable, like one of these entrepreneurial people. He was ranked 4 in the country for entrepreneurship and developing and whatnot. He has this whole new, he's a brilliant, he's a genius. He has this whole new thing. He developed this technology where like the phone reads your eyeballs. And he's playing games, like he moves eyes up and down, the phone moves, you don't have to use your finger anymore. He started 2 or 3 companies, him and another Talmud of ours, Tobi Eldam. So I was talking to them, and I was talking about what his dream is and what he plans on doing with it. And he happens to be very, very, very idealistic. He's like, listen, my heart's in chinuch, but my actions are in Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. And the guy's like already, he must be 28, 32, he's a multi-millionaire guy. He did very, very, very well. But like in his mind, he's still idealistic and young and excited. Anyhow, so that's that second element, to make the country a great country. So far, that's number one, halacha lamaisa, that's one element. Element number two, and I'll build up in how exciting the elements are for me. Okay, questions, comments, thoughts? We had someone hand up something? Yeah, what do you got?
So according to Eliezer, yeah. Is it a chiyuv or is it a kirim? Because he says chiyuv atmo prati, chiyuv, use the word chiyuv. So
he does. I don't think, it's a long, long tshuva. I cut out about 4 lines at about 700. that's about right. He describes it a lot longer, discusses other things. I guess I could look more carefully. My impression is it's not. My impression is it's just like it's the word he's using. But I must be honest with you. I don't remember careful enough. But I appreciate the point. Element number two. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just wondering. Do you think there's like a certain amount of money or a certain amount of like effort someone would have to put in if they
So it's difficult to know exactly. It's difficult to know exactly how much, you know, to weigh that on a scale. Did it go from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 9 to 10, 500 to 513? It's difficult to know exactly how to weigh in this, but the answer is clearly more. In other words, my question is: what occurred in 1948 halachically, not just hashkafically? Not should we wave a flag? Not should we be excited? Are there any? And the reason why I.
No, but I'm saying, according to the fact that if you would want to, like, stay in America, but just, like, contribute money.
You'd send over money, would you fulfill a mitzvah of that?
Is there a certain amount of money?
I don't know exactly how much it is. I imagine if you give a pruta, you'd probably fulfill a mitzvah. If you give 2 prutas, it's twice as good. If you give $100 million, it's significantly better. Now, the truth is, the second nekuda I'm going to develop is another answer as to why the Rambam left out this mitzvah. There are many, many, many answers. If you're interested at the end, I'll list 4 or 5 more for you, 6 more if you say, whatever you want, remind me. Rav Schechter has an answer written up in his Ikvei Atzon. He has a sefer written, we'll call it the Ikvei Atzon. And in it, he describes a lot of his strong pro-Zionistic thoughts. And one of the answers he gives is the following yesod. I'm going to take a step back and develop it based upon a bunch of questions, and you'll see the answer. It almost has to be true. But he's the first person I saw who says maybe this is what the Rambam means as well. Maybe the Rambam doesn't count this mitzvah because, and you'll see why in a second, because theory number two is correct. Let's start off with a fascinating discussion, a fascinating question. There's a major machlokes between the Rambam and the Abarbanel. You're probably aware of it, but I'll review it anyway. Between the Rambam and the Abarbanel, is a melech, is a king, an ideal form of Jewish government or not? People familiar with this?
Yes.
According to the Rambam, this is a great thing, and the reason why Chumash gives you a little bit of a lukewarm presentation is just because the Chumash is predicting what will happen historically. The Chumash says, you'll come to me and you'll ask, you know, we have a king, a melech, just like all the goyim around us, and then the answer is, yeah, I'll give you a king. Seems like a very lukewarm presentation. Why? Says the Rambam, it's just for technicalities, that's just what occurred. In Sefer Shmuel, open up the book in Sefer Shmuel, that's the way the Jews asked for a king. So the Chumash was kind of already hinting this is how history would unfold. That is the shita of the Rambam. The Abarbanel disagrees very strongly. The Abarbanel plays down severely the value of a king. The Abarbanel believes the ideal form of government really is a shofet, and therefore there's all sorts of halachic implications. Says the Abarbanel, the shoftim can do all sorts of things. And in his introduction to Sefer Shoftim, Shoftim or Shmuel, in his Akdamah to Shoftim, the Abarbanel has a whole list of similarities and differences between a shofet versus a melech. far, so good? Take a quick side point. Everyone likes to talk about this. I don't know the answer to this. It's a whole world of hashkafa that I'm not going to address, but it's worthwhile. You should be aware of the issue. People question how much the Abarbanel was influenced by his own historical context, which is he was, Don Isaac Abarbanel was up there with King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella until 1492 when he was expelled from Spain. And he thought the king had too much power. How much did his history, you know, how much did his life experience impact his perspective on Torah? That's a fascinating question in general, about this particular example. In any event, there's a major machlokus, the Rambam and the Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel, in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, writes as follows. Take a look at source number 9. Umipneza hashituf hashlishi. He has a whole list of similarities. Here's a third similarity, he writes. Shehamalachim v'hashoftim, both kings and shoftim judges. Kulam makim v'onshim pa'amim shalok bedin v'shalom natara kifi tzarech hashah. Hayu shoftei Yisrael osim devarim shalokim mishpan v'halacha liosam l'haros. There's a halacha that a king can basically has a almost like a blank card, a get out of jail free card. He can do practically what he wants for temporary purposes. He can break halacha, he can do all sorts of things. That unique power given to a king is also given to a shofet. Now there's a great question one should ask on the Abarbanel. How does he know that? The Gemara makes drushes about a king. Who told the Abarbanel that? It's true by Shofet as well. Question number one. Question number two is the Ramban. The Ramban in Bamidbar says the following thing. Shehaya ha'aron holeh mi'ohel el ohel kiger. This is referring to, the Ramban's referring to the story of Navi. When was the Aaron being passed around and passed around? Yeah, correct. And the Jews were punished because they should have done what? Built the basement earlier. Vani Omer Bederach Svara VeNivna HaBayis Lishmo BaAretz VeEin HaShvatim Misorim Lomer Nidrashat Hashem. Says the Ramban, the Jews should have done what? They should have built a basement dish way earlier. So many Achronim ask on the Ramban. Rav Shachter asks on the Ramban. I found it also in the Sefer called the Yamshel Shlomo. The Gemara writes crystally clear that there's a specific order that you must follow in terms of building a Beis HaMikdash. First is, we come back to Israel. Then you appoint a king. No, I'm sorry, what's the order? I forgot already. 1 second. No, first you build a base. There's a specific order that you're not allowed to build a base. Maybe until you have a king. There's the third thing is Mechemes Hamalek. I forgot if that's second or third. I think the first is appoint a king. Second is Hamalek. And third. All right, look it up. It'll be good to refresh my memory. Sorry about this. It's a Gemara in the Sefes. No. First is to appoint the king, second is to destroy Amalek, and third is a Beis HaMikdash. That's the halacha, that's the order. Says the Gemara, in order to build a Beis HaMikdash, what do you need first? A melech. So the question that Rav Shechter and Yamshel Shlomo both ask in this Ramban is that how can the Ramban be critical of the Jews for not building a Beis HaMikdash? There was no melech just yet. If you need a melech to build a Beis HaMikdash, don't be critical of the Jews. The Jews had a great response. The response is, how could we be held responsible for building a Beis HaMikdash? We don't have to build a Beis HaMikdash until we have a king. We're just a bunch of non-kinged people over here. We have no obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash. People follow that? There's one more proof, which I'll get to momentarily. Based upon this, many Achronim suggest, and this is, really point number two, there are two different halachic categories. although they're very similar. One is called the Melech, number two is called Malchus. One is the king, the man himself, the gavah. There's a mitzvah to appoint the king. And number two is there's a halachic element called Malchus. Even if there's no king, there may still be kingship. A halachic government, which is a quasi-king-like status. You with me so far? Let me just share with you how this is helpful. Rav Shechter and the Amshal Shlomo both claim that that's what the Ramban has in mind. The Ramban believes that even though there was no melech, is this water for me? Even though there is no melech just yet, the fact that there are shoftim means there is a halachic Jewish government which is called Malchus Yisrael. The shoftim accomplish that goal. They're called Malchus Yisrael, and therefore the Ramban can critique them for not building a Beis HaMikdash. Because you don't need a Melech for a Beis HaMikdash. What do you need? Malchus. Says Rav Shaul Yisraeli, same thing with the Abarbanel. Who told the Abarbanel that the Shoftim have the right to break certain halachas to punish people? He answers, the ability to break halachas to punish people is not a halacha that emanates from the Melech himself, but rather from Malchus. If you have a Jewish government, that's called Malchus, and that Malchus has the right to punish people, Shalokidin. And for that matter, you ever wonder, is the Israeli government today allowed to make up its own laws? According to the halacha, is the Israeli government allowed to tax people? Is that gezela? Is the Israeli government allowed to put someone in jail? Is that considered pidyon? Is that considered like, you know, capturing somebody? Is the Israeli police officers allowed to break into a building and do all a million? What? These are really good questions. So this question came up famously to Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef was asked about the raid in Entebbe. Is it mutter to go in Entebbe? People know the story in Entebbe?
Yeah.
Okay. So they wanted to go on Shabbos. They wanted to break in. They wanted to penetrate into where the terrorists had captured all the Jews. They wanted to go on Shabbos. And there are a few shalas. Number one, is it Shabbos? Number two, is it any person you're risking the lives of all the soldiers going in? Is that allowed? They asked Rav Avadya Yosef, is this mutter? And Rav Avadya Yosef answered absolutely based upon the following two major important points. Number one is the Minchas Chinuch. Number two is Rav Kook. He doesn't quote the Minchas Chinuch, but he does quote Rav Kook. The Minchas Chinuch's first point is like this. The Minchas Chinuch wants to know, how is it mutter to go to the Israeli army, even in times of David HaMelech? Isn't it Pekuach Nefesh? Doesn't Pekuach Nefesh pat you from almost all mitzvos? Are you allowed to break Shabbos for Pekuach Nefesh? What's the answer?
Yes.
Because you're not chayiv in Shabbos if it's Pekuach Nefesh. Are you chayiv to keep kosher with Pekuach Nefesh?
No.
If it's Pekuach Nefesh, you're not chayiv practically in anything, except for the big three. Maybe, you know, for Hesi, why not? Shas Hashman. So ask the Minchas Chinuch, how can anyone ever halachically have to go to the army and do a Mechamech Mitzvah? They should always be Patra, because it's always what? It's always Pekuach Nefesh. The Minchas Chinuch says a very simple answer. He says, there's no way that Pekuach Nefesh patches you from mitzvahs that by definition are sakanas nefashos. Pekuach Nefesh means for a safe mitzvah, don't endanger yourself. But by definition, if the mitzvah requires you to endanger yourself, then you have to go. So says Rav Avadya Yosef, Shabbos, Pekuach Nefesh, no problem. Endangering other Jews, it's a mitzvah called Mechemes Mitzvah. And this is the key point, says Rav Avadya Yosef. It's totally legitimate for the Israeli government to develop an army and employ its soldiers as it wills, because Rav Kook Paskin says, Rav Avadya, that Medinat Yisrael Bizman has a status of Malchus Yisrael. Even though there is no Melech, we have a status of Malchus Yisrael, and therefore, according to the Abarbanel, they can punish the way they want. According to the Ramban, perhaps we can go build a Beis HaMikdash today. One of the Talmid Makota once asked Reb Devinsel, why don't we go build a Beis HaMikdash? Reb Devinsel looked at him and smiled and said, you go, I'll support you. which is on the one hand kind of facetious and a joke, and the other hand he probably meant it to some level. And that's why the Israeli government can function, because they have a status of Malchus Yisrael, which enables them to go out and do all these type of things. Rav Schechter actually claimed, if that's the case, perhaps the reason why Yishev Eretz Yisrael is not a separate mitzvah in the Rambam is because it falls under the category of Malchus Yisrael. It's going back to the Rambam. Why doesn't the Rambam count Yishev Eretz Yisrael? So we saw the mitzvah of Michael Sester, we saw the Avnei Nezer. Rav Schechter says, based upon this idea that Rav Shaul Yisraeli claims in the Abarbanel, and when he claims in the Yamsha Shlomo claims in the Ramban, and Rav Yosef quotes Rav Kook to claim, it's all the same Yisod, that the Medina today has a status of Malchus Yisrael, which is halfway there. It's not fully there. It's not the Melech. It's not the goal, the ideal, is even the climax. Nonetheless, it's something halachically substantial, something halachically significant, and that changed in 1948. Now we have Malchus Yisrael. We have a functioning Jewish government in the land of Israel, and that's the second major halachic difference, which huge nafka means. Going to war, establishing policy, foreign policy, domestic policy. If four of my friends and I go attack Egypt, we're not allowed to do that, it'll fi halacha. But the Medina has an army, and Tzahal wants to or wants to not, or whatever they want. They have that halachic right because the Medina is strong. That's point number two. Point number one, again, is there's a bigger mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael of Aliyah, both on the individual and on the masses, according to the Tzitz Eliezer. And number two is Rav Avad Yosef, quoting Rav Kook, which is this whole development we have, which is now we have not just the bigger mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, we have Malchus Yisrael, which carries along halachic implications. I'm going to get to point three in a moment. Unfortunately, it's not in the Maror Makomos, it's probably my own fault. But there's an unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable nitziv. You should all take a look at this inside afterwards. So far, so good. Questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah.
There was less
of a mitzvah. It was not as strong, not as significant. Exactly how to quantify more and less. Again,
because yeah, when the Rambam and the Ramban write it, they're writing it before that. So,
according to the Ramban, it was probably a mitzvah through and through. According to the Rambam, it's a big machlokas. That having been said, whatever, well, according to the opinions who believe that there is some level of mitzvahs today, which is the Avnei Nezer, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg, Rav the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shapiro, and all in the Rambam, the Ramban, whoever else believes this theory, they would tell you either it's a mitzvah chiyuvis or it's a mitzvah kumis that has heightened level post-48. Argument number three, and this is an unbelievable, unbelievable nitziv for a lot of reasons. The nitziv is bothered. Why is it that if you look at the psukim in Sefer Devarim, the impression you get is that a melech is optional? So much so that that's actually what the Abarbanel holds. People will come to you, they'll ask, can we have a melech? So then you ask them to the melech, a melech. On the other hand, says the nitziv, you get the impression the Rambam's right. There clearly are halachas. The Torah says, Som Tassim, it's a mitzvah. I understand where the Abarbanel is coming from and his proofs. I understand where the Rambam's coming from his proofs. Says the nitziv, I want to open up a middle track. Let me explain to you what I really think is going on, because the truth lies somewhere between the Abarbanel and the Rambam. The nitziv says something revolutionary. He says there's different communities and different cultures and different nations and different types of people. Some countries, the people are wild, difficult to control, and you need a king to suppress them and hold them tight. Other communities and cultures, they act like mensch, and you should give them freedom, and the country can function on its own because the people deserve to be given the freedom that we can now afford to give them. Says the Nitziv, having a melech is one of the best forms of government, along with many others. According to the Nitziv, if the people need a melech, give them a melech. If democracy works, that's fine as well. Now this Nitziv, if there's a third form of government, that a parliament, you want to have people elected, there's all sorts of legitimate approaches towards developing a government. Now the reason why this Nitziv is important is for many, many reasons. Number one, I know a lot of people have a tough time, really, we believe in theocracy, we should go back to monarchy, don't we value democracy, says the Nitziv, if you want it, go for it. It's just as good. powerful nitzivah for that aspect. The nitzivah is also important for our context. I guess psychologically, how people work, it's important as well. And for our context, the nitziv may offer a whole new insight to what Medina Yisrael has brought to us. Because according to point number two, Rav Avadja and Rav Cook and Rav Shechter and that whole school of thought, they all argue that the Medina is a fantastic thing. It gives us Malchus, but it's building towards the Melech. It's only tier two. We're not yet there. It's a great thing, but we got to keep on working to get to the final goal, which is a Melech. According to the Nitziv, that's not the case. According to the Nitziv, a Melech is one option, but equally good, a parallel track, tantamount. So that would be, perhaps, a Knesset with 120 members, just as good as a Melech, according to the Nitziv. If that's correct, not only might we have a form of government, which is a tier two form of Malchus Yisrael, according to the Nitziv, the government we have in Israel today may very well be a tier one form of Malchus Yisrael. Those, I think, are the three major potential halachic, not hashkafic, halachic differences that 1948 brought with HaKamas Medina. And I'll conclude with one or two quick hashkafic points. Firstly, I was actually looking over a Sefer called Odido Fake today. The Salvechik has a fantastic perspective on many things, including Medina Yisrael, and he points out you can't. Salvechik has an interesting balance of, on the one hand, he certainly feels Hashem is, so to speak, knocking on the door, called Odido Fake. Hashem is knocking and letting us know. This is not by chance. He has six or so different historical events, which each one's a different knock, and Hashem is knocking at the door, and it's important for us to open up our eyes and not just learn from the Sfarim, but learn Torah from history. And to appreciate what Hashem is doing by using a broader perspective on life and on the world. That having been said, Sefer Salvechik, you cannot know with certainty God's plan. You don't know exactly how Hashem's going to make things work and how things, history is going to unravel and unfold itself, and we just kind of have to know He's knocking, take the bull by the horns, do as best as the job as we can, but also recognize we don't have all the answers. And although there's a lot of halachic and hashkafic wonderful things that the Zionistic movement has brought to us, we don't know all the answers. We kind of have to keep our eyes open, looking forward to the future. That having been said, moving, returning, back to Eretz Yisrael, and again, specifically on Sukkot time, when we dream about the ultimate Geula Shlema, in addition to not knowing fully how things are going to unfold and how history plays itself out, the second point that Salvechik makes is that the more we can grab the bull by the horns, the more we can help build Klal Yisrael, build the country, build towards a greater, better future, the better off we're going to be as individuals, and more importantly, religiously, nationally. And therefore, I wish, again, everyone a good pitka tova, and mo'adim v'simcha. Thank you very much for coming and for listening. If you have questions, feel free to come over again afterwards. I guess a quick break now and then. Rabbi Manning is on right away. And, thank you very much.